The connection runs deep between John Cleary and other Louisiana piano greats. Here's his rendition of the Fats Domino classic, I'm in Love Again, All by Myself. Bonnie Raitt makes the song all the more impressive. John Cleary was born and raised in England, but at some point early in life, he became yet another Louisiana musician who talks kind of funny. Cleary says he plays the piano with a New Orleans accent. Can you hear it? What was the aha moment for you? You know what I mean? When you decided, you know, maybe the piano is my future.
Well, we had a piano in my house when my grandmother, whose stage name was Sweet Dolly Daydream, when she was a young girl, she lost her arm in an accident. With the compensation money, she bought a grand piano. She spent one arm, she spent all the money on a piano.
Wow.
And that piano is still now, and she gave it to my mum and dad, and that's the piano I grew up playing with as a kid. We'd like use it, we'd drape tents, drape sheets over it and pretend it was a camp, or we'd climb on top of it or hide things in it. It was just a great thing to play with, and occasionally you start banging on all the notes, and then I started figuring stuff out, and so I really started messing with the piano quite young, but I didn't really take it seriously until I came to New Orleans.
Yeah, about when was that?
That was about 1981,
mm-hmm.
something like that, and I didn't bring a guitar with me. And the house that I moved into had an upright piano.
Terrific.
And so all of a sudden here I'm in New Orleans, I'm hearing piano music. one of the best piano players ever came out of New Orleans, played in my local bar every Tuesday night. And so I would hang out at the bar all day. I see him all the time, James Booker.
Oh, boy.
And so when I get home, I'd sit down and just try and figure out. You know, I'd spend all my money on records, on Huey Smith records.
Sure.
And would get off of work and go home and just sit there and play the piano and figure it out.
That's pretty great. What was your job back then?
I was a banana tree digger-upper.
Of course you were.
First of all. I wasn't bad at that, but that's hard work, man.
That
digging up banana
work.
Trees is really hard work. So I graduated from that to laying a brick patio behind the maple leaf, which is still there, and you can... It's so gnarly and wobbly. It's a sort of sorry testament to my inadequacy as a bricklayer. And then despite that, the owner of the bar very graciously offered us the job of painting the bar. And the deal was we could get to see all the bands for free.
Mm-hmm.
We got half-price beer at night, and we got free beer while we worked. Free whatever we wanted to drink, only in New Orleans. And we could work whatever, however many hours we wanted a day.
Oh, boy.
And so a job that should have taken 6 weeks took us 6 months. This is me and my mate from school who'd just flown, come over. So a 6 months painting, getting covered in paint, doing the worst painting job. But I think because at that time the bar was very popular with people in the construction industry, they realised that despite the fact we were such lousy painters, we were actually paying for ourselves, because all the construction guys would come and to watch, to see what a bad job we were doing and fall about laughing. They'd all get their beers and come out and watch us. Like we're rolling about on the floor laughing as we were dropping paint cans on the sidewalk and accidentally painting our heads green. As we were trying to balance a gallon of paint and a Dixie beer at the same time.
Wow, it's like reality TV.
When you were 17 or 18 years old, it was great.
But now you can actually say, you know, I built the Maple Leaf, or at least I kind of built the Maple Leaf.
Well, I splattered it with a shade of green paint. I think it would probably be more accurate. But we had a ball, and it was great, and I got to see all this amazing music.
Thank you.
ask you this, though. You know, in those early days when you were listening to James Booker, did you ever figure out what the heck he was doing? I mean, a lot of people have dedicated a lot of time to figuring out what James Booker was doing on that piano that made it sound so good.
A lot of people dedicate a lot of time just to trying to figure out what James Booker was doing, piano or no piano. What on earth was that guy doing? He was a character. He was given scant respect, really.
Yeah.
Now he's dead and gone, and in the grand pantheon of New Orleans piano players, he's assumed his proper role as one of the true greats. Back in the day, Tuesday night, you'd be lucky to get 10, 15, 20 people in there sometimes.
So you started off as a sideman. How did that, you know, how did you grow your reputation as a sideman?
Well, I think if I, to a degree, I think I, whatever reputation I might enjoy, I sort of enjoy it by default, really. I'd always been on a bit of a quest. But when I started playing piano, I started playing New Orleans piano. But at the time I came here, there weren't many people that really had much interest in that stuff, amazing to say. I mean, and so I think I kind of got hired by default because there wasn't anybody else that could do it. So I got hired by Earl King. And
wow.
And when it came to Lonely, Lonely Nights, I knew how the piano solo went, and he looked, he nearly fell over. And how on earth do you know that?
How does
he
it go?
He wasn't used to younger cats. Well, it's like, you know. Boy, I've been so long, I can't remember. That kind of Toots Washington, Huey Smith
kind of
style. Anyway, so I got to play with Earl King, and then it went on. I got to play with guys like Tommy Ridgely and Ernie Cato and Jesse Hill.
Oh, the good guys.
All the guys that invented New Orleans R&B, really.
On your first album, which was Alligator Lips and Dirty Rice, which is a great title. You do a lot of covers. The whole album is in covers, but a significant number of songs are covers. And like including like Big Chief, which is so fabulous. Do you feel like as an artist coming into this area that you have to show people what you know of the classics before you can, you know, introduce your own music?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, that recording session came about at short notice. And I had to come up with some songs that I knew everybody could play and songs that I was comfortable with. And we'd actually just played the weekend before in Houston. A club owner in Houston had asked me to put a big band together for a special anniversary or whatever. So I hired my dream band at the time, which was, you know, George Porter and Punchy Johnson and a bunch of horns and stuff. And John Brovin in England made it possible for us to go in and just do the same thing in the studio. So we basically did our gig.
Right, you said.
That whole record was recorded and mixed in 24 hours. So, you know, warts and all, that's what you got.
John Cleary. You can hear our entire interview with him, which includes a lot of great music, at musicinsideout.org. Now, here are some folks to tell you how you can support WWNO, the station that supports Music Inside Out, each and every week.